like you to ask you to turn to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. I want to read a longer portion. Lamentations 3. For the believer, every day is Thanksgiving. You don't really want to eat like it, but you do want to think like that, in that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. For that is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. I wouldn't doubt if we remembered how we were slaves to our sin, we'd be that much more thankful that we're redeemed. If we remembered how condemned we were before we knew the Lord Jesus, we'd be that much more thankful that we're justified. If we remembered that we were enemies of the Lord Jesus, and for according to Romans 5, we'd be that much more thankful that we are reconciled. If we remembered how we were dead in our transgressions and our sins, I think we'd be that much more grateful for our regeneration. How about if we remembered the wrath of God that we were under? We'd be so thankful that he was a propitiation, that the Lord Jesus was a propitiation for our sins. If we remembered how lost we were, we would be that much more grateful that he saved us, like Mark said, from ourselves, from hell. If we remembered that we were orphans, we'd be that much more thankful that we are adopted. I think this passage gives us what Jeremiah is thinking when he's not really feeling the fellowship with Christ, with the Lord, with God at that point, and what we're like now. Read with me, if you would, chapter 3, verse 1. I am a man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he has turned his hand. Turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. While we read this, let me ask us to think, what we deserve is this first part here. But Christ took this for us. When I was studying that this week, it hit me in a new way. How many times this first part describes a little what the Lord Jesus went through in taking God's wrath that we didn't need to. Verse 6, he had made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways and with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all people, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. He made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance is perished. So is my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But here's the big change happens here. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. This is what we have because of the gospel. This is what we have because of what Jesus took for us. Look at verse 26. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes. Let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. Listen to the sovereignty of how much we can trust God's sovereignty here. To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve. Who has spoken and it come to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? It is not from the mouth of the Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain? A man about the punishment of his sins. And as we go before the Lord and as we get ready to sing about his grace alone that has saved us from the mess that we were in, from our own sin, from our own selfishness and our own rebellion. Why should a living man complain? A man about the punishment of his sins. What we have deserved, the Lord Jesus took for us. Let's go to the Lord and confess our sins. And I'll close this in a second. Gracious Father, certainly as we think about what life was like before our Savior, before we knew the Lord Jesus, we remember that we were slaves to sin, that we were dead in our transgressions and our sins, that we were under your condemnation, that we deserved your wrath before we knew Christ. Father, we realize that we were your enemies, and yet the Lord Jesus has come to take, pay that penalty, pay the price that certainly we deserve to pay but couldn't pay. And we are so grateful for the gospel today that now we are reconciled, now we are justified, now we are redeemed, now we are regenerated. Now we do have so much to look forward to, and as Scott teaches from your word today, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And that you would justify those who have yet to know the Savior. We are very aware that we are undeserving of any of this. That everything that we get is better than we deserve as believers. And so our hearts are overwhelmed with thankfulness at the work of our Savior. And Father, as we confess our sins, we're so thankful that you are faithful to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thank you that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My prayer would be that those believers in here today who are feeling condemnation would once again believe the truth of your word, and the gospel would overwhelm them. And Father, for anyone who needs Christ, I pray that you would use the gospel today to grip their hearts and give them the faith to believe the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name.